Marco Werman, and this is The World. Most of the TV news crews have left, but in a way, this is when the real story begins, as Baltimore starts its recovery from all the unrest that followed Freddie Gray's death. The tension between residents and police is still high, and today Attorney General Loretta Lynch launched a federal investigation into the Baltimore police force. Everyone in the city has been impacted by what's happening, including immigrants. And that's where we begin today on The World as part of our Global Nation coverage. Reporter Bruce Wallace has the story of one immigrant in Baltimore who credits her African-American neighbors with helping her through this trying period.
Gracia is standing in front of one of the markets she runs in West Baltimore. A handful of National Guards are at a metal barricade nearby. It's a few days after the violence. Grace points to the name of her small shop, Blooming Sun. One she had up the street was called Hatunun.
But meaning is sunrising.
It's Korean for sunrise. For Grace, who moved to Baltimore from South Korea in the early 80s, the sun is a sign of hope. She had four shops in the neighborhood and talks fondly of her customers. She'd tell the kids that they could grow up to be president like Obama. They'd bring her their report cards if they got good grades.
They call her Mama.
Marvin Warfield lives nearby.
Because she's like a mama of the community. If you go into a store, if you see right in the front window, you see pictures of kids in the community, pictures of family, little babies. People, when they graduate, they come and say, "Hey, Miss Grace, I just finished school and this." And she'll hang their pictures in the window.
People say when money gets tight, Grace lets them have stuff, pay her back later. And neighbors took care of her, too. Like Earl Williams and his daughter Shanita. I meet them sitting on their stoop a couple doors down from Hatunun Market.
We used to take her dinner down there like on Christmas or Thanksgiving. She would be open on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah. So we would go there, down there and give her something.
And Marvin Warfield tried to help Gracia two Mondays ago when looting and arson broke out. Warfield spent a lot of that day trying to calm things down in the city. Getting home that night, he saw fire down the street.
And I just couldn't see anything. All you see is the street filled with black smoke. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have family down there. My first reaction was to go check on the family and get them out the house. And that's what we did. And then after that, we see that it was Miss Grace's store. The back of her store starting to burn down. So my first reaction was to, this is Miss Grace's store. We got to help her because she helped us out so much.
He and a few other people grabbed a fire extinguisher and ran some garden hoses down to the store. Grace and her son Ruben got there a little while later.
It's smoking and the fire engine. But I can't believe, oh, this is my store. And my heart was so trembling. And how can this be happens to me? But we're still living, you know.
The fire gutted the store, the only one of her four that Grace actually owned. Of the 250 stores damaged last week, about 50 were Korean-owned. There's talk of tension between these owners and their largely African-American customers. Grace and the people at her store don't see it. As she watched the flames that night, one of her regular customers came over and hugged her.
She's just like my dear sister, and she crying, and she hugged me, tightly, and I'm very sorry. She just told me and crying. It was very warm to me, even though my store is burned, but my neighbor loved me, and I will love my neighbors, forever.
I went back to see Grace again a few days ago. She'd planted flowers outside of Blooming Sun that morning.
But this is needs a lot of water.
She says she wants to bring some beauty to the block. There are a lot of vacant houses here, and trash blowing across empty lots. She also wants to expand the mural on the side of the store. As for the store that burned down, her son's friends launched a fundraiser online to help reopen it. Their neighbors, Marvin Warfield and Earl Williams, are planning a benefit too. In the meantime, Grace tends to the shops she still has, and to her regular customers, like a woman at the counter who just had a baby.
Hey, Grace. Oh, Grace, I'm going to show you the baby. You going to be in here?
Yeah.
All right. When I come back, I'm going to come back in.
Okay.
When I come back, okay.
For The World, I'm Bruce Wallace, Baltimore.
Jennifer Lee is a sociologist at the University of California, Irvine, and she spent a lot of time looking into what happens when immigrants like Grace literally set up shop in African-American communities. So, Jennifer, how typical is Grace's story that we just heard, the Korean shop owner and her African-American neighbors?
That's an excellent question. I would say in my research, what I found is that so many of the Korean shop owners had really positive relations with their customers, and they were certainly not negative. And people like Grace are in many ways very typical, that there were a lot of people who were dubbed mamas. And it was particularly Korean shopkeepers who were also women who acted as maternal brokers who could transcend racial lines and class lines and forge positive relations with their Black customers. So Grace, even though she seems heroic, and she certainly is in many ways, she's not atypical, which is one of the surprising things that I found in my research and is probably surprising for many of your listeners.
Tell me a bit about your research, because it's pretty much right down on the ground, isn't it?
Yes, I wrote a book titled Civility in the City that was published in 2002 by Harvard University Press. And it's the culmination of several years of field research that I did interviewing Black, Korean, and Jewish merchants and their customers in African-American communities. And what I found is that contrary to the media depictions of interethnic strife and conflict and riots and boycotts and firebombings, that most merchant-customer relations were really quite routine and civil. I also worked as a bag checker in a store in Harlem, and I worked as a cashier in a store in West Philadelphia. So I saw these merchant-customer relations on the ground.
Right. And you're Korean-American and you were bagging groceries. No problem?
Yeah. Actually, I'm Korean-American, yes. And I was actually checking bags of customers who were coming into clothing stores. Mm. And so I would give them a number and I would take their bag. And all of this gave me an opportunity to see what happens on the ground.
You know, I think of the tension between African-Americans and immigrant shop owners that Spike Lee portrayed in Do the Right Thing a couple of decades ago now, or the 1992 civil unrest in L.A., which was also sparked by police brutality against African-Americans. And those images of Korean-Americans armed, protecting their stores from looters. I mean, the splits in the communities really seemed real then. Has anything really changed?
I have to say that I started graduate school shortly after the 1992 civil unrest, and that's what really sparked me to take on the study, is that, of course, Korean-American merchants were protecting their businesses, Black store owners were protecting their businesses, everyone was protecting their businesses because the police were not protecting their businesses at the time in L.A. They were really protecting the more affluent communities like Beverly Hills. And they left places like Koreatown and other neighborhoods in which immigrant shop owners owned stores unprotected.
And that 1992 civil unrest, I suspect you drew back into your own past because your parents are from Korea and ran a store in Philadelphia, right?
Yes, yes. Actually, my parents immigrated here initially because my father wanted to pursue a PhD. But they realized that in order to support a family of four, they needed to earn more money. So they took an economic detour and opened up a business in a predominantly poor African-American community in West Philadelphia selling sneakers. I grew up working in these stores. The media images of Korean merchants fighting with their African-American customers always stealing from immigrant-owned businesses, were really at odds with what I knew to be a reality. And then also what I showed, I wouldn't just blame the media. Even some of the theories of race relations really focus on conflict and why conflict emerges. Mm. And very little focuses on how civility and routine is really managed every day. That's really not that exciting or sexy or newsworthy, but that is everyday life in these communities.
Sociologist Jennifer Lee at UC Irvine, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That conversation is part of our ongoing Global Nation reporting project, stories about our changing nation and its people. Find out more, including how to join our Facebook group at PRI.org/globalnation.